Hour number two, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Tuesday. We say hello now to Outkick's Jonathan Hutton, who joins us. Hutt, what's up?
How are things, guys?
Oh, we're feeling good. Predators regular season comes to an end, getting ready for the playoffs, yeah. The draft. Think, just get us to the draft. I'm so tired of talking about it. You know how it goes.
It's almost here, finally. It's almost here, and I feel like there's been I don't know. I always feel like, see if you guys agree, there's always like this malaise of the draft coverage is very cyclical.
Yeah.
Where we start with Caleb Williams, and then we haven't had really the breakdown of Caleb Williams like we would with Bryce Young. But it has turned to Jaden Daniels over Drake May, and then it's been J.J. McCarthy. And my guess is by the time everything rolls around a week from Thursday, Drake May will be one of the more discussed quarterbacks when he's not really being discussed right now, because every mock draft that comes out has to be different. Otherwise, what's the point of putting a mock draft out every week? And I pay attention to the mock drafts that come out over the next week, because that's generally where guys try to really nail down one or two picks that are correct. And if Kuiper gets three or four of them right, that's a good year.
So, last year's quarterback draft class is still incomplete. Obviously, we don't know, Will Levis, how he's ultimately going to be here. Bryce Young left a lot to be desired last year, and C.J. Stroud, everybody's ready to crown the next one. So, it's still yet to be determined. When I look at this quarterback class that potentially could have six QBs go in, the top 40 to 45 picks, I honestly just on paper don't feel like it's going to be that great. Like I have concerns about Caleb Williams and some of the baggage that he brings along. I really liked Drake May more so the year before than last year. Jaden Daniels had, a couple of really good years, but does that translate to the NFL? And then I'm not sold on McCarthy, and I'm not really sold on Nix at the NFL level. How do you think this QB class is actually going to be?
Well, I'm with you on Caleb Williams, Chase. To his credit, he's been relatively quiet, and so has his father. So that's good for him. Like I thought it would be a bit more chaotic than what it's been, personally. Yeah. For no other reason than we heard a lot of chatter right after the season, before the season of the college football season. A lot of that, right? So to his credit, we haven't heard all that much. He's representing himself as well. So just keep all that in mind. He's one of, 13 or 14 players that are going to the draft next week. Drake May surprises me a bit, because at the beginning of last college football season, it was Caleb Williams and then it was Drake May. And Jaden Daniels comes on to the scene and had a great season. And I think he'll be the pick for Washington. J.J. McCarthy is a head-scratcher because – we just didn't see him do what people are saying he's going to do in the NFL in college. Doesn't mean he can't. It's just whenever we compare the guys, there's Michael Penix Jr., who's had a couple of injuries throughout his college career. And if not for those injuries, he's probably the second or third quarterback taken. And then there's Bo Nix, who we saw play at Auburn. I can't get what we saw at Auburn out of my head. And I'm with you on the back end of these quote-unquote six quarterbacks that we could see take him. Chase, I know what he did at Oregon. I just don't – I'm not seeing the same type of quarterback.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%.
I talked to Jonathan Hutton this morning from Outkick. All right, so Hutton, I go back, this whole quarterback talk and everything. I just always go back to 2011 and Jake Locker, and like, he's a can't-miss guy, should have come out the year before, and he's a guy, and then he gets here and it's like, oh, man. The bottom line is you just never know what you're going to get. I mean, where'd Mahomes go, 15, 17, whatever it was?
Yep.
You just never know where you go. So I just – all this to a point becomes psychobabble. It's like, just stop with all this talk and see what happens there. It just – it'll drive you crazy if you get too in-depth into figuring out quarterbacks and draft and everything. It does mean.
Yeah, I mean, it was Locker or Gabbert.
Right.
Remember that?
Yeah.
So here's the thing that I think really hinders a lot of these QBs. They don't, by and large, about half of them will be in a new system 2 years from now, minimum. And some of them, like Caleb Williams, We're seeing it right now with Will Levis. We're seeing it right now with Bryce Young. Coaches go in, they don't perform. And in Chicago's case, literally, Eberflus is the only guy practically that they wanted back. New OC, they brought in a lot of changes. If they're changing head coaches a year from now, they're changing the coaching staff. And I think that really holds QBs back some. Meanwhile, you've got what's not a rookie, but Jared Goff in Detroit has the same play caller coming back year after year with Ben Johnson. CJ Stroud is doing that right now. We're seeing that firsthand in Houston. That benefits the rookie going into year number two. I think that's a huge deal. So while a lot of it is just kind of a crapshoot, I would also say a lot of it is fit and stability and continuity and just consistency. And in Locker's case, you know, it's half inaccurate, which they're not going to coach a quarterback to be more accurate than what he's been to that level. I mean, by and large, you're not going to fix that guy. Josh Allen is the outlier in that. But Joe, I mean, it is get in the room. You start talking to a guy. Drake May is a good example. If you hear Drake May, or if you hear about what he's like in interviews, he is the alpha male. He talks about wanting to kick your ass
good.
On the field and then go to church on Sunday.
Love it.
You know, that's great. But what happened at North Carolina the last two seasons at the end of the year where they just fell off a cliff as a team? When you start looking at the unbeaten North Carolina team at home, and then all of a sudden they're nowhere to be found in the month of November. Those things matter, and especially in a conference where if Drake May is the number one or number two overall pick, let's see that happen. Caleb Williams, I mean, wins the Heisman, and then what does he do as a backup or a sequel to that? Nothing. I mean, he put up big numbers, but I mean, no defense will certainly do that to you, but it wasn't the same type of Caleb Williams. So I think you have to take the good and the bad and not just rely on what was the dude like in a 15-minute interview at the combine or what he was like whenever he was on our campus or in our facility. A lot of that goes into just how secure you are in your job and how much you have to take a swing and see what happens. And I think a good example of that, Joe, is with the Giants. With the third draft now for Brian Daboll and Joe Shane, what do they do when they select? Are they going to make a move and try to draft a QB, or are they going to stay where they are and stick with Jones? The money's with Jones, but how secure do they feel? And if they draft a young quarterback, what's it like a year from now with that coaching staff? That's just an example of what we could see with the turnover. I think that from a QB perspective, that's a big hurdle to overcome when you're supposed to be having your biggest jump from year one to year two in this offseason.
I asked Chase this question earlier, Jonathan. I want to ask you. You're sitting there at seven, and somehow Drake May falls to seven, and he is a top player on the board, and you got Levis. Do you take him?
No, I trade. I trade down, and I get future first-round picks, and I build. It's still a thin roster in Nashville. Joe, I don't draft a quarterback and then have Rudolph as the third string. I try to find a trade partner that's desperate for the quarterback position, and I'm riding with Will Levis, who the owners even mentioned as part of the reason why they got rid of Vrabel. She in her statement. So I try to trade, and I pick up picks in a draft where I don't have very many, especially in the top 100. And this day and age, too, if a team is desperate, they're going to give you future first-round picks, and that would be a massive overhaul for a team that needs premier talent, elite talent. And you allow your new regime to go and build through those pieces. They don't have many of those opportunities in this draft. This would be quite the scenario if they have one or two quarterbacks at seven, if the Chargers go offensive tackle or if the Arizona Cardinals don't trade the pick, they go with Marvin Harrison Jr. Titans are in a good spot at seven if all that happens.
It's hard to believe they're 9 days out and finally we'll be getting through the first round.
By the way, which position would you go with? Offensive tackle, wide receiver? Or I mean, I would go tackle, but again, I'm it's very cyclical with all the reviews of these tackles. And if you're going tackle, you're just going with what Bill Callahan wants.
Yeah, look, I'm going Joe Alt. If Joe Alt's there at seven,
no matter what,
I'm that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, and here's the thing, Jonathan. I was telling Chase this earlier. Now to the point where we're starting to pick on these guys. Like, well, Joe Alt, you know, he is 6'9", and so you know, no 6'9" tackles ever. Blah blah. I hate this part when we get to it because the guy's damn good. And everything you watch on tape, he's pretty good. And now he's going to be under the tutelage of one of the best offensive line coaches ever. Take him. It's a no-brainer.
I would think so. But, hey, what does Bill Callahan think about the second-round tackle? You know?
Right.
He's the best O-line coach in the NFL, and maybe he feels like this guy fits the line. And by the way, he's not going to make a recommendation because he's vain, you know, or because he wants the power – He's making this pick for his son. If he's recommending something, I think that's important to mention. I only say that because if he feels like you can get the same type of value and develop a player in the second round, I'm going with what Bill Callahan recommends.
Good point.
If I'm Brian Callahan,
that's a really good point because I've thought about that. Brian Callahan has said, you know, you can't overvalue a touchdown scorer. And you know, he went through this before in Cincinnati when they were deciding between Jamar Chase and Penei Sewell.
Yep.
Obviously, they made the right decision. But he's kind of faced with it again. And I am curious, does Bill Callahan make the same recommendation to his son that he would make to, you know, insert head coach's name?
Yeah, and I think he would. I'm not trying to say that it would be different. I just think it's more – They are in lockstep with what they want to do. And there's a reason why he came to Nashville instead of staying in Cleveland, right? Like it was because of his son coaching here and setting up his son and his first time calling plays, first time head coach with a young general manager in the position. I mean, he's the experienced guy in the room. So I think they're leaning heavily on that experience and especially on the O-line. I mean, if Joe Walsh, an all-pro, a perennial all-pro, then you take him, right? You don't pass up on that guy. But if you think the separation between the group of tackles, which many feel like that we could see – I mean, I saw one mock draft, Chase, that had, five tackles and, the top 18 picks.
Yeah.
I mean, that means there's great value there, but also you could trade back. If it's that front-loaded – you're in a good position at seven to trade back and get more picks. I would do it based on the quarterback position because that's where you're going to get the haul. If not, I'm going tackle or wide receiver. And it's based on the fact that you feel like you've targeted a player in the second round that Bill Callahan would want to coach and develop. And not just develop, but go ahead and plug and play. I mean, that's the other factor here is you feel like he's ready to go. And the Titans over the years have had success with – second, third, fourth, fifth round tackles. So it's not unheard of to get a starter in those rounds, and it's the top 100 where you've got to hit. So I don't overlook the second round pick being one of the targets there, and you can get a target for your quarterback at number seven, depending on how things fall.
Yeah, for sure. Hutt, appreciate it as always, and we'll talk next week.
Yeah, always enjoy this, guys. Thank you, and look forward to next week.
Thanks, buddy.
100%. Jonathan Hutton from Outkick joining us here on the show.
All right, we come back. We're going to read. I got a list. Every team in the NFL's most devastating, disappointing moments since 2010. Some of these you've forgotten about, and some of these are like, holy cow.
I can't wait to hear the Titans.
All right.
Sure. We'll do that next. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3. The game we are presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Hey, join Nashville Super Speedway and the City of Lebanon for Speedway on the Square this Saturday, April 20th from 1 to 6. Big Joe's going to be there from 1 to 3 in downtown Lebanon. Stop by and bring the family for a day filled with inflatables, face painting, balloon art. Dr. Crane loves balloon art. Live music and a ticket giveaway to the Ally 400 NASCAR Cup Series race at 3:30. So really looking forward to that. JoJo will be out there. Taking pictures with the people.
But I'm also there's also going to be a legit rock star with me down there.
There is.
Uh-huh.
You're talking about our friend over at the Buzz?
Yeah, who's
Haley St. John? Yeah,
wildly and vastly more popular than we'll ever be.
So. Yeah, no, I agree with that. So go and check that out this Saturday in Lebanon. And for those of you that just moved here, it is not Lebanon.
Nope.
It is Lebanon.
It's Lebanon. It's L-E-B-N-U-N. Lebanon. Yep.
Lebanon. All right. You have a list.
Yeah.
I like this. Most, like,
devastating, disappointing moments of your franchise NFL since 2010. I disagree with what the Titans' most disappointing one is. They say the Titans' most disappointing thing since 2010, blowing a four-game division lead in 2022. I disagree.
I mean, that's up there. It's okay, what do you say?
Gotta be the playoff loss to the Bengals. It's gotta be. Everything was set up.
How about drafting Isaiah Williams? Wilson.
Yeah.
Whatever his name is.
Awful is what his name is.
Yeah.
Still, they had in 21, they were able to go and win the division. 22,
yeah,
they could have won it.
I think I'm with you. You sacked the quarterback 9 times, but yet you throw 3 picks and end up losing the game. If you win that game, they probably win the Super Bowl.
Yeah. You sound like Fisher right there.
They probably win it.
Go ahead and have a parade downtown. Yeah, I agree. Because then the Chiefs are coming here, and then Nissan can be loud, and they had beaten. I mean, so who knows? Play the hypothetical.
Yeah.
Go on and on and on. Now, other teams, it's like.
This is all since 2010.
2010. The Bears, the double doink.
Yeah, that was a good. What would be the all-time for since they've been the Titans?
Disappointing.
Vince Young not panning out.
Disappointing would be not winning the Super Bowl. Devastating moment to me is when Ray Lewis took Eddie George's ball and the soul in 2000.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Playoffs.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Because I don't know if Titans would have won that game, but they wouldn't have. Oh man,
it's I think that. Well, I mean, look. Al Del Greco makes a couple of those field goals. They probably win that game. But
then the Raiders are coming here for the AFC Championship game.
If that moment doesn't happen, though, then, yeah, I think they win.
It says the Colts' most devastating moment, Andrew Luck's retirement.
I probably will agree with that.
I was going to say Peyton's neck injury because he could have played another 4 to 5. He did with the Broncos. Could have played another 4 to 5.
He left in, 2011?
2011, yeah.
Yeah, those two might be tied.
Your Cowboys, you know exactly what that is. Most devastating moment for the Dallas Cowboys since 2010.
Was that Romo dropping the hold?
Nope.
What is it?
Romo's involved.
What is it?
Dez Bryant.
Oh, the catch or non-catch?
Catch and non. Yep, that's the one there as well. Falcons is pretty easy.
The 28-3.
Yeah, that's all it says here. It says 28-3 on that. So, Saints, the non-pass interference call in the playoffs.
With Diggs, yep.
Let's see what they have. The Jaguars. Having to play 2 games a year in London.
That's a good one.
That would be that as well. I mean, the Seahawks' most devastating moment since 2010. It says Malcolm Butler.
Yeah, has to be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look, and that's on Pete Carroll.
It is.
That was a dumb, dumb, dumb call. Give the ball to Marshawn Lynch, and Brady has one less Super Bowl, and the Seahawks have 2.
As far as the Buffalo Bills, Mahomes, 13 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
Going down the field and scoring one of the game. And the rest of these are, you know, teams. Some are funny with the teams that go on.
What are the Texans?
I'm trying to find them right now. San Francisco.
You said Jags was playing in London twice a year?
Yep. Texans blowing the 24-0 lead over Kansas City in the playoffs.
Yep. That has to be it.
That was pretty bad.
They should have won that game.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, you can't.
Was that Bill? That was Bill O'Brien, right?
That was Bill O'Brien.
That was the beginning of the end for Bill O'Brien, I believe.
Because they went through, was it Bill O'Brien? Because then they had the guy from Sparta, the coach. Then they had Lovie Smith for a year.
Yeah, they went through like those were one and done. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was Bill O'Brien.
Yeah. So some of these are not like the Rams moving from St. Louis and on, some of those like that. But that's it. So the Titans, it's got blowing a 4-game division lead. I think it's the playoff loss to the Bengals. It goes on.
Yeah.
So more Titans stuff when we come back, because I'm going to read off who the Titans have drafted in the 7th round since they got here. And some of these names, and I'm going to get Chase's reaction, because some of these names you're like, what in the hell? And some of these are like, oh, that's a damn good pick. So you just never know. And a lot of these guys we've forgotten about. So we'll get Chase's reaction on this.
Quickly on our text line, driven by Wilson County Hyundai. .com 8465 says, walking across the bridge after losing to Cincinnati was the worst feeling in the world. I think a lot of Titans fans felt that way. I didn't go to the game. I sat with our now GM, Sean Fort, in a bar watching it. And we both just kind of, and you know, I'm obviously a bigger Titans fan than he was, but we both just had this look on our face of like, what the hell just happened?
Mm-hmm.
Like, did they really just lose this game? In the fashion in which they lost. I mean, even after a couple of interceptions and just dumb mistakes, you still thought, okay, they got a chance. Then go win this thing.
But so much heartbreak. I mean, 2000 with the Ravens, 2008 with the Ravens, 2020 with the Ravens in the COVID year. And it's like, yeah, until I actually see this happen
right to
the next level, I'm not going to get too excited. And then it didn't happen. And then it was
– when moments like that continue to happen, you just get this thought in your head of, they're never going to win the Super Bowl.
Nope. You're right.
Like, they're just – and then you said, like, did Bud Adams just piss God off? Or
the 08 season, I'll never forget, I was working at Channel 2. We had sent a team, advanced team to Tampa to scout out broadcasting locations, hotel rooms. And I'm thinking, and I know this has nothing to do with the Titans losing, but I'm thinking, that's going to be a wasted trip, man. Let's just do that. And they go down, and then Algie Crumpler fumbles at the 5-yard line and is like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but you know what? That wasn't it. The moment for them, and I've talked to D-Mace about this, it was great. We interviewed Chris Johnson one time. They knew what they were doing, and them taking Chris Johnson out of that game changed it.
Yep.
Absolutely. And it was good strategy on their part, but
I agree.
They knew what they had to do and they did it. 615-737-1025, and Joe will give you some interesting names coming up next. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on the Omaha Storm Chasers at First Horizon Park. Pregame at 6:20, the first pitch at 6:35, with coverage also available on the 94.9 The Fan app and 949thefan.com. Sounds Baseball on the Fan is presented by Twin Peaks, Family Leisure, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. We're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Gabe Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. All right, Joe, what is this?
All right, so we're going to go back. You know, the draft is coming up, and so the Titans have been really good, and Hutton alluded to it earlier, on getting good guys in the back end of the draft, you know, of guys in the 5th, 6th, and 7th round who've, you know, had some great contributions to this football team. They're going on. Let's go back to the 2006 draft. We're not going to run through all the players, just the last guys taken in the draft. And I got how many games they played in the NFL. 2006, they took a running back named Quentin Ganther. Remember him?
I actually do remember him.
Ended up playing 36 games in the league that year. But they also took a guy in the 7th round in 2006 who did pretty damn good. Cortland Finnegan played 133 games.
I would say in the Titans era, he's going to be the best pick they've taken in the late round, the last pick, whatever it was,
right,
the late rounds. Now, you know, Blaine Bishop was a 9th round pick and turned out to be pretty damn good too. But I would say as the Titans,
yeah,
I'd put Cortland up there.
07, I love this pick because he was a serviceable backup for 7 seasons, and that was Michael Otto. He only played 62 games, but he was a guy who could plug in a lot of different spots and was fine. 2008, this one wasn't bad. Kerry Williams, defensive back, ended up playing 97 games in the league.
Yeah, I remember him.
Wasn't fantastic, but he was serviceable. 2009, they draft Nick Schammer, who played 13 games. I don't remember
who
this
the hell
guy
is
at all.
That?
Exactly. 2010, the last guy they took was David Howard. From Brown. Did not play a game.
Is he a doctor?
The guy before him in the 7th round, Mark Mariani.
Yeah. Okay. Well, so, that one turned out.
You just never know.
Pretty good.
2011. This guy had potential. Former janitor, Tommy Caldwell, Tommy Campbell.
Oh yeah, yeah. I remember him.
Yeah. So it wasn't bad. He played 44 games in the league. Then you go 2012. I don't remember this guy. Scott Solomon, defensive end.
Nope.
Then 2013, Damon Stafford, DB, played 62 games.
I remember him. I remember him. He had a couple of flashes here and there.
2014, last player they took in the draft, Zach Mettenberger.
The Met
show. He only played 14 games in the NFL. I thought he played a lot longer than that.
Where's he coaching now?
Father Ryan.
Okay. OC?
Yep. OC, strength coach.
Yep.
Altar boy. He's got like 9 jobs over there. They tweeted it out yesterday.
They did.
He's got all kinds of jobs over there. 2015, I remember they hyped this guy so much. Trey McBride.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think he might end up going to the Canadian League or somewhere, played 17 games through that.
He was in one of the spring leagues, too.
2016, Kalen Reed, cornerback, only played 7 games.
I do remember that name, though.
2017, Kalfani Muhammad, played 0 games.
I remember. He was a running back?
Yes.
Yeah.
Running back. Good job. 2018, they only had 4 picks. And the last pick in 2018,
Cole
Falk.
Or Luke Falk, yeah. Waste of a pick.
It was, yes. And then they cut him, and the Dolphins picked him up because that was the first game that year, and then the Dolphins like,
Vrabel's first year, right?
Yep. Now, 2019 might go down as one of the best drafts in Tennessee Titans history.
This is John Robinson's best draft by a mile.
Last player in that draft taken, David Long by the Titans.
Yeah.
Sixth-rounder who led the league in some stat last year for the Dolphins.
Yep.
But they had Simmons, Brown, Nate Davis, Amani Hooker and David Long. DeAndre Walker only played 1 game at linebacker.
He was the only one that was a disappointment, and he really was because I thought that was a hell of a pick.
It was. 2020, the draft we don't like to talk about. Chris Jackson, safety, played in 24 games. He's out of the league.
And they loved him, too.
They did. Christian Fulton, Darrington Evans, and Larrell Murchison are all still in the league in that same draft. This guy. And I'll never forget when they took this guy, there's somebody in town who's like, this is the greatest pick, last pick ever, Brady Breeze.
Oh, yes. There was so much love for Brady Breeze.
And
out of the league, right?
Out of the league, played 11 games, taking the 6th round. And this person's like, oh, it's so great, and it's so great. Terrible pick. 2022, linebacker still in the league. I'm not sure where he is. Chance Campbell, linebacker.
That was one that, you know, he flashed at camp and stuff. I don't know where he is now.
2023, this guy still on the team, still, and he's accepted. We've talked about him. Last year's last pick they took, Colton Dow.
Yep.
He's accepted. I talked to him. He's like I love – he was talking about the kickoff rule. He's like, I love it. Gives me a chance to show the team what I can do, and I love being a gunner, and I love being on the kickoff. So his attitude was really, really refreshing.
He might make the team that way.
Yeah, absolutely make the team that way. So it's always a hit or miss. It's always fun. That's what I'm saying. At number 7, if the Titans get down to the number 7th pick and they're like, yeah, what happened? Why not take Joe, the quarterback at UT, Joe Nixon, right? Take him.
Sure.
Why not? It'd be fun to watch him in the preseason game. Because the 7th guy is hit or miss. And more than not, it's an absolute miss.
Yeah.
I'm on board taking this guy. Just to watch him launch 90-yard passes. You imagine he comes in a game, you plug him in. I mean, he's better than Malik Willis.
Sure.
Get him out of here, you know. And if they do the thing where 3 quarterbacks are now can play in a game, put him in for 1 play, like a Hail Mary.
See, I think, and I think eventually it's going to get to this. You know, you got 53. And you can do call-ups, right?
Yeah.
You can do the call-ups. I think you add a roster spot that is a game day roster spot that is a call-up, but it has to be the 3rd quarterback. And like it, but that person doesn't have to be on your regular 53 throughout the week.
Yeah.
I just like
they're going to have to.
The emergency quarterback, the 3rd quarterback, should just be something we all get. You know, a player that every team gets. Have 32 of them.
Right.
And they're yours, and you can't – no other team can take them, and you just have them.
This is a league that prints money daily.
They can afford it.
Instead of 53 guys, make it 58. I mean,
yeah,
I know you're going to have 52 eligible on Sunday. Just they're so penny-pinching.
It's 45.
and just move it up. Just add another 7-8 guys. That, by the way, and I think this is correct. If you get this, Chase, I'm going to get over and give you a big old kiss on the head. Right now, according to this list, who is the most draft? Who is the most tenured Tennessee Titans player that was drafted? That's still on the team.
Oh man,
I got my lips puckered. I'm ready to come over there and kiss you on the head. Do you know
most
who
tenured Tennessee Titan that was drafted?
Drafted by the Titans.
I mean Jeffrey Simmons?
Nope. You won't get it. You know, I'm gonna leave it out there in our text line. See if anybody can get it. Because right now, according to this list I'm on, and this is ProFootballReference.com, he's still on the team. And he was drafted by the Titans. Let you.
Okay, let me
throw
think
it on text
it.
Line, yeah. And we'll figure it out.
I tell you what, first person to get this right on the text line will win a pair of tickets to see Stained and Seether at First Bank Amphitheater on Tuesday, April 23rd. Text it in.
Got it.
615-737-1025. Most tenured Titan that was drafted. 615.
According to ProFootballReference.com, not us.
615-737-1025. We'll come back with celebrity birthdays and what day is it here on 1025, 106.3 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, 106.3 The Game here on this Tuesday. So we've kind of done some sleuthing here, and I may have to make an executive decision on this. What's that? All right. So therefore, we're going to take one answer.
That's right.
And we'll Dr. Crane, since didn't give this away yesterday, we'll take two winners on this. The first two on our text line to say Harold Landry. Harold Landry is the most tenured Titan that was drafted by the team. Now, when we originally started this question, Pro Football
Reference
had Corey Levin. Corey Levin is not currently on the team.
I talked to the definitive source of all things Titans, Jim Wyatt, and said he's currently not on the team. So Pro Football Reference has him, but he's not. So
doesn't mean he won't be, but he was drafted in 2017, was released, went elsewhere, came back. So technically he would have been right, but currently active, Harold Landry. So
that's it.
First two that got that right on our text line. Dr. Crane will be in contact. And you will each win a pair of tickets to see Stained and Seether. So looking forward to that coming up in just a little bit as my screen went away. With that, let's get to – always good when that happens. With that, let's get to what day is it and celebrity birthdays.
All right, gentlemen, today we have Day of Mushrooms Day. That's something interesting. Okay. Wild mushrooms, for those that are wondering.
No. You eat wild mushrooms?
No. Okay. Oh, my goodness, no.
Okay.
Free cone day, ice cream. Go get your free cone.
Is that, does Ben and Jerry's do that every year still, or somebody does that every year?
I don't know. That was a thing.
Yeah.
I need to get into that.
Maybe. I'm too lazy to Google. Maybe somebody can look
it
up.
I'm a big ice cream guy.
I like ice cream.
Yeah. Who doesn't, right? National Eggs Benedict Day.
Ooh, those are good.
They're very good.
Yeah, indeed. National Healthcare Decisions Day. All right, make a decision about your health. National Librarian Day. All right. National Library Workers Day, kind of the same thing. Oh, too much?
Librarian.
You got me. You got me. Let's see here. National Stress Awareness Day. That's
daily.
A lot of people in America.
Yep.
Let's see. National Wear Your Pajamas to Work Day.
Never mind.
Go ahead. No, you've already started.
What if you don't wear pajamas? I mean, yeah. I mean, how does Winnie the Pooh get away with this?
I think because he's an animal.
He's still naked. He's wearing a shirt, so he's very cognizant of what he's wearing. I think there's some looking into this.
Take it up with the artist of that cartoon.
Well, he knows what he's doing.
Next one we have is Save an Elephant Day. Save an Elephant. And the last one we have here is Teach Your Daughter to Volunteer Day.
I was told that, this is a true story, that elephants see humans the way we see dogs. I was told that.
Wow.
So that they elephants love humans. I mean, they love humans. I mean, I will pet any dog anywhere, anytime. I will step over anybody to get to a dog to pet. So I was told that elephants see us the same way we see dogs.
Okay.
You know, speaking of elephants, so there's a phrase that we use that is like, I understand the intent behind it. Like, it's meant to be good. Like, when you're tasked with something huge, you know, the old phrase of, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time?
Yeah.
But why are we eating elephants?
Oh, that's disgusting.
I'm going to be honest. Like, I've never heard that phrase.
Really?
I've never heard that. I thought you were going to go with the elephant in the room.
Yeah, well, that's
And that's, that, I asked somebody, where's that come from? It's like, well, there's an elephant in your room. You need to say, what the hell is an elephant doing in my room?
Because it'll take up the whole room.
Yeah, so you need to do that.
All right. Okay. Well, all right, then. Celebrity birthdays.
All right, celebrity birthdays, got to get them within
two. Did Paul do this yesterday?
We did not. We got into a great discussion about everything Titans, so we did not. First birthday, Ellen Barkin. How old is Ellen Barkin, the great actress?
I don't know who that is, so I'm going to say older. 82.
74.
70.
Okay.
Martin Lawrence. How old is Martin Lawrence? Remember when he almost died by trying to lose weight wearing a fat suit and jogging in Georgia? He almost died.
Yeah.
Martin Lawrence.
62.
58.
59.
Nice.
Dr. Crane. All right. 1-0 going down here. Who else we have here? I love these pop-up ads. Actor John Cryer from Pretty in Pink and 2.5 Men.
Yeah. And he's on another show now. 56.
59
exactly.
Wow.
Dr. Crane, 3-0. Don't know who that is. Don't know. How are these people? She's in Dune Part 2. Anya Taylor-Joy.
28.
33.
28 exactly. Right. Chase her with a stab in the dark. You had no idea, right?
I had no idea.
All right. The lead singer of Midnight Oil, Our Beds Are Burning, Pete Garrett. How old is he?
63.
73.
71. Dr. Crane's up 4-2. Legendary singer Bobby Vinton.
Bobby Vinton is 77.
84.
89. Singer, the lead singer used to be, took over Peter Cetera, of Chicago, Jason Scheff. And I heard he lived here in Nashville. So, hey, probably. Jason, if you see me walking by,
72.
Teardrops in my eye, look away.
81.
62. Singer Jimmy Osmond of the Osmond family.
69.
53.
61. Actor Peter Billingsley. He was a little boy in A Christmas Story, which, by the way, I loathe that movie.
Yeah. 69. 48.
56.
53. Our last birthday of the day, and Chase, you were down 4-2. Double Jeopardy. If you get this, you could tie Dr. Crane if he doesn't get it. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. How old is Kareem Abdul-Jabbar?
Lou Alcindor is 72.
81.
77.
Ooh.
Mm. If you ever have a discussion about it, you got one guy to make one shot for you at the last second of a game.
Kareem.
Nobody could defend the skyhook. Nobody. Not even Derek Mason could defend the skyhook.
That's his guy.
That's his guy. Kareem. Good. Well done.
All right.
As we leave you every show, to our guys out there, we say at every show, look, we love you. If you're struggling, that's okay. But before you do anything, please call 988 on your cell phone to reach out. Talk to someone. Please talk to us. Please talk to someone. Just let you guys know that our world is a better place because you are here, and we love you, and you are tremendously loved. Please know that.
Amen to that. Vanderbilt baseball back in action tonight against Lipscomb. Pregame at 5:45, first pitch at 6, presented by Smoky Mountain Tops, your countertop experts. Visit SmokyMountainTops.com. That'll do it for us. Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace next, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.